We're still in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. I think it was a tremendous piece of work last week on the word called and the word apostle, which I think you now understand. The next word is the word separated. The word separated simply means set apart. And there are very definite lines. Paul, doulos, of Jesus Christ, remember? Called apostle, separated, set apart. And baby, when you're called as an apostle, there are definite lines. People like to crawl in there. They can't. Only you and God know that, though, sir. They'll try. You know, they try. They're lines. How am I going to describe it to you? I don't know. Oh, well, you put down stakes and put binder twine up. That's a line. Put down stakes and put a cord up. That's a line. This word separated means there's a line. Now, when you're an apostle, you're separated. People will try to crawl under that because they always try to work you. But as far as God is concerned, anybody that crawls under it is finished. That word separated has definite lines of demarcation. Separate bounds, sir, bounds. Like a basketball court or a football field or a tennis court. Definite bounds. When it goes outside, it's out of bounds. If you want to see it from the word, go to Exodus. Exodus 19. Listen to verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds. Same word in the Septuagint as in the Greek. The word separated. Unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that ye go not up into the mount or touch the border of it. Whosoever touches the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned, and be by the people, or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. This is where the Lord said to Moses, you go unto the people and sanctify them. To be sanctified is different in one sense than separated unto the ministry of an apostle. And he told him in verse 11, the third day the Lord had come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. But all the people are not going to be on Mount Sinai. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. God told Moses the whys and the wherefores he did it. The children of Israel only saw the results, the acts, children of Israel. He said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Must have been a lot of men said, man, we're hot. You know, we can't pray for 1 hour. We just cannot pray for 1 hour. Why'd the Lord tell them not to lay with their wives? Don't ask me, ask the Lord. I don't know. Came to pass on the third day in the morning. There were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount. And the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. Man, what a fantastic man of God. And they stood at the nether part, down at the base of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether on smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in a fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. And the Lord came down, verse 20, and the Lord called Moses. He said, Moses, come on up here. And Moses went up. Boy, oh boy, what a tremendous thing. What a wonderful man of God that Moses must have been. Imagine, he makes, and it says in the word, he was a man who spoke with God face to face. What a tremendous thing.
And it wasn't even yet the day of Pentecost.
People, how far, Bill, we live below par. Because nobody wants to believe God's word. Nor any man of God. That's what the word separated means. Don't you touch the border of it. Whosoever touches it shall surely be what? Now look, did God tell him? Sure, he told him. Now, I don't believe what God says, so I walk up and do what? And then I die, and they say, oh, God's a cruel God. Who is man that he should judge God? Sinfulness, wickedness, disobedience, a man who thinks he's God. Verse 21, the Lord said unto Moses, go down and command the people, lest they break through under the Lord's gaze, and many of them, they want to break the law. Want to break it. So God says, get down there, stand for your people, fight for them. Let the priests also which come near the Lord sanctify, lest the Lord break forth them. And Moses said unto the Lord, man, that's something. The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away. Get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon thee. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. And then he goes back up. God spake all these words to Moses, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of. Thou shalt have no other gods, including Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, before me. Unto. Unto is the Greek word eis, or eis, E-I-S, which means with a view to, indicating an immediate result, separated unto. Moses, remember the line. God said this far for the people, no further. Moses, you can come through. Next trip up, you can bring Aaron. That's all. Separated. Unto. You talk about accuracy of text, minute detail. There it is. The word unto with a view to, indicating an immediate purpose. A line starting at one point, reaching to another point. Not falling short in any way. It is a point from here over to here, not reaching short in any way. That's this word. Separated, unto, not reaching short in any way, with a view to, immediate purpose, immediate, the gospel. The gospel. The word gospel means good news. If you needed $1,000 tonight or you'd die, and you got it tonight, that'd be good news. If you were nigh unto death tonight and you got healed tonight, that'd be good news. The good news is the mystery. And yet Paul doesn't make mention of this. He starts in verse 1, separated unto the gospel, the good news. Here it says of God. We'll handle it as we get to it. But knowing the book of Romans, and I'll show it to you as we go along, it is the good news of the mystery, and yet he never comes right out and says it till the last chapter, 16:25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my, what? Separated unto the gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of what? The mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of believing. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever and ever. Amen. That's the gospel. The word gospel is spelled E-U-A, I'm transliterating the Greek for you. E-U-A-G-G-E-L-I-O-N. The letters E-U mean W-E-L-L. Well. A-G-G-E-L-I-A means a message. A well message. A well message. The word A-G-G-E-L-I-A appears singularly like that, and it is pronounced Anglia, Anglia, transliterated literally into the word evangel, E-V-A-N-G-E-L, carried over further into another word, what would it be? You've got it, evangelist. Now, right there, I want you to think. The gospel, the evangel, preached by an evangelist. What is a true evangelist? Can only be one who preaches or teaches the true what? Evangel. Right. So most of the stuff you have seen is counterfeit. Make up your own mind. Luke chapter 2, verse 13. Angelo. In the interlinear, they put the word angel under it. And that's exactly how the word angelo is translated at times. Angel. But when you work this now, sir, whenever an angel is mentioned, he always brought a what? He never sang. But boy, what a message they delivered. That's why that word angelo means angel, messenger. And every time an angel came, he brought a message. The angel to Mary, huh? Zacharias, right? That's this word in Luke. Chapter 7 of Luke. Same word as the word in Romans, gospel now. Just hang in here. Luke 7, verse 24. Tone angelion, verse 24. And it's translated messengers, 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, the word messengers is the word angelion, meaning gospel, evangel. Ever heard a girl's name by Evangeline? That's the root word. She must have been a great gospel carrier, huh? Good news, girl. Really great. John chapter 20. I do something else in teaching that you just have to get knowledgeable of. Ordinarily, I wouldn't take it in this order. But for simplicity of teaching, I follow because Gospel of John comes after Luke, so it's easy to find for you. We don't have to flip around a lot. Saves me time, saves you time. So that's why I start this. In John chapter 20, verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. You got the Greek text? Bringing word is what my interlinear says underneath. Bringing word. Bringing gospel. That is the same word basically that we have in Romans 1. Bringing word. Mary Magdalene, King James says, came and told the disciples. Told the disciples is not as strong in my mind as the word would be bringing the word to the disciples. Bringing what word? He's risen. That's the word. Not there, they stole him or something. He's gone. The gospel, good news. Good news. Good news of the resurrection. See, the word gospel, the good news, can be a variety. You can have a variety of good news. Told you that. If you need $1,000, dying tonight, it'd be good news you got it, right? Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 23, And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. Having been let go, they came to their own company and reported. The word reported is the word meaning the reporting of good news is what it was. They came to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. They gave the report. Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 17. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared. Declared is the word throughout all the earth. The word declared is the word diangele. Same as the word gospel in Romans 1:1. That my name might be declared good news throughout all the what? Earth. 1 John. Got to show you this. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him. And declare, declare is the same word, same root form. Announce, declare, announce, meaning news, news. News can be of a different kind. Romans 1, separated unto the news, the good news, the well message. Verse 1 says, it's the good news of whom? Of God. Verse 3 says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our what? So anybody else that preaches anything else than the gospel, the good news of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, has to be off the ball. The word tells you what's all about. In verse 16, which is in the introduction part, he finishes it all up. And this is absolutely amazing. For I'm not ashamed of the good news I have of Christ scratched. Is it scratched in all the critical Greek texts? That's what I thought. Scratch it. You know why they put Christ in there? Three guesses and the first two don't count. You flunk or pass. What's the first verse tell you? It's the good news of what? Why did they put Christ in? That's right. They said he is God. They added it. Isn't that honest? Isn't that just wonderfully honest? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. What gospel? Of God. Concerning his what? Son, Jesus Christ. That I'm not ashamed of. Here it is. You watch it. For it is not maybe class, not perhaps if you like it or I like it. Got not one lousy thing to do with it. It is the power of what? What? Unto what? To everyone that believes. To the Jew first, and the Greek. There it is. That's the gospel of Romans. Anything else but that can't be gospel. Then anybody who teaches Jesus Christ is God as an evangelist has to be what? Oh. Am I right or am I wrong? You bet your life I am right. You know it. You may not know it tomorrow, but you know it tonight. Anyone who teaches that Jesus Christ is God cannot have the true evangel. It is the gospel of what? God. The gospel of God. Concerning. You know enough about concerning that you know it's concerning. Is what? Is that what it says? That's what it means. It's the power of God, what?
Unto what?
And I was taught in the theological cemeteries I attended that the gospel was salvation.
Wait a minute.
That's not what my Bible says. It's the gospel of God concerning his what? Unto. What? If it's unto, then it ain't salvation. Right? Salvation, sir, is not the gospel. Salvation is salvation. Soup is soup. Apple butter is apple butter. It's the gospel unto what? So what says? That's what it means. And it ain't salvation. It's unto it. And, sir, every text backs that up. Justification is not the gospel. Righteousness is not the gospel. Sanctification is not the gospel. Holiness is not the gospel. Romans 1. Gospel of what? That's the number one test of genuineness. Number one, it is of God. Which, parentheses 2, he promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and marked out, declared, the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. Verse 1, it is of God. Verse 2, promised by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures according to God's word. And number 3, verse 4, marked out the Son of God with power concerning God's Son. These are the three great tests of the gospel. It is of God. Secondly, it's according to God's word. And thirdly, it's concerning God's Son. Whenever someone handles it, honey, that way it will always be the true gospel. In Romans 1, verse 17. For therein, in what? The gospel. I told you it wasn't righteousness. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed. From pistis to pistis. From believing to believing, as it is written, the just shall live by pistis, by believing. For the just to live by believing, he must previously have been what? Justified. That verse is not talking about being justified by faith. Read it yourself. What does it say? What does it say? The just shall what? You can't live by it until your first what? Doesn't say these are justified by faith. It says the just shall live by it. It's accurate here in King James, except for the word faith. The word is pistis, should be translated believing. It says the just shall live by believing. Doesn't say you are justified here in this verse by believing. It says you do what? Live by. In order to live by it, you first have to have the living, the life. To me, as simple as falling off of a grease log backwards. See, in the gospel, the good news of God concerning his Son, there you see the revelation, the revealing of the righteousness of God, that the just shall live by pistis, believing. Chapter 4, verse 3. This once and for all, for any believer, should settle the matter of whether it's by grace or by works. For what saith the scripture? Verse 3. Abraham believed God, and it was counted or reckoned unto him for righteousness. His believing God was reckoned. You know what the word reckon means? Set to your account. Like your daddy putting $1,000 in the bank for you. Set to your account. Abraham believed God. And when he believed God, God did what?
set it to his account, put it in the bank for him.
Righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned of what? But of what?
If you work for something, that isn't grace. He owes it to you. The debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, just believes,
on him who justifieth the ungodly, his believing is counted, set to his account for his what? People, I don't know why the so-called Christian church has never been able to believe God's word. Why do you always want to get accounted before God because of your works?
All your works are like stink in the nostrils of God. It's your believing.
It's your believing
that gets it accomplished.
Even as David also describeth the blessedness of man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without what? Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are what? Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that believing was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was circumcised, or when he was still what? Not in circumcision, but when that old boy was still uncircumcised, it was reckoned to. He received the sign of circumcision afterwards as a seal of righteousness of the pistis, which yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them who do one thing. What? Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also that never got circumcised. It's Gentile boys. They believe. Boy, you talk about the gospel separated unto the gospel. Immediate results. Fantastic, man. And the father, verse 12, of circumcision of them who are not of circumcision only, but who also walketh in the steps of that believing of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet what? Uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham and to his seed through the law, through works, but through the righteousness of believing. Believing which produces righteousness. Isn't that wonderful? Boy, that thing fits like a hand in a glove. For if they which are of the law be heirs, believing is made void, and the promise is made a non-effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of believing that it might be by grace. To the end the promise might be certain, sure, to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the believing of Abraham, who is the father of us all who do one thing. Well, there it is. The gospel of Romans is a gospel of grace, a gospel of believing, not a gospel of works. 1 Peter 1:25, talking about being born again in 23. Not of corruptible, but by the word of God which liveth and what? For all flesh in all of his works and everything else like what? Yeah, what's man's works then? Nothing. The grass withereth, the flower thereof fall away. But the word of the Lord endureth what? And this is the word which by the gospel, the good news, is preached on him. See, Peter believed the same thing as Romans. By the way, Jesus Christ did too, if you have any doubt about it. John chapter 5:46. For had ye believed Moses, you would have believed me. Hey, this sort of puts the hatchet to the necks of the theologians
who do not believe that Moses did the trip that it says he did in Genesis. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. For he what? But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words? Was the attitude of Christ, the good news, the gospel, concerning his what? Son. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Boy, these things just chop all the unbelievers and all the higher and lower critics and all those liberals who don't believe God's word. He just chops their earballs right off next to their head. Verse 14. As Moses lifted up the what? Even so must the Son of Man be what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You just can't get away from God and from the truth of God's word in Genesis all the way through. It's the gospel. It's the good news of God concerning his love. Boy, you see, when I teach this, I chills literally go up and down my spine. To think that at once upon a time, I too believed that Jesus Christ is God. I'd have fought about it. I'd argue, I'd fight, I'd jump, I'd holler. What a disgrace to God Almighty. You know why I believed it? That's what I was taught. Can't go beyond what you're taught. Moses lifted, even so must the Son of Man be what? For God, 16, so loved the world that he, God, what? What? Romans 1, gospel of whom? 3, concerning his. There it is. Matthew chapter 12. How they love to throw Jonah out. Let's see how God threw him out. Matthew 12, verse 40. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the sea monster's belly, so shall, absolute tense, the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of what? God sort of backs up Jonah, does he? And the Word sort of does, and Jesus Christ. I stand with the word. The critics can do as they like. I still stick with it. The word of God substantiates and corroborates the truth of the record of Jonah. Matthew 24. How about old Noe? Verse 37. As the days of Noah were, so shall the coming, the parousia of the Son of Man be. Hey, God sort of backs up the record of Noah in the Word, huh? Oh, Noah never lived. There never was a flood. None of that stuff. You've got to be stupid to believe that. But what makes you so smart? The only thing that could make you so smart is that some unbeliever has written there wasn't a flood, and you prefer reading the unbeliever and believing him. I just prefer to believe this. Now, on sheer logic, honey, I have as much right as you do. But I think I have a little more, because this one has stood the test of time a lot longer than the critic of some university who happened to have spent 4 years in Greek and thinks he's a major or Hebrew. This has stood the test of time. I will vote with the record, because you know what I believe? That holy men of God spake it. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. And I know a little more about it than just that they says. I know how revelation was given. All of that. So I think I once taught you that. That's the attestation of the greatness of the Word. to the gospel, sir, of Romans 1, the gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ, who backs up old Noe and the rest of them. One more, Luke 24, I gave you this one once upon a time in a foundational class called Power for Abundant Living. And he said unto them, verse 44, these are the words, the Logos, which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things might be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses. Wow. All be fulfilled from Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms, the rest of the writings concerning what? Amen. The gospel of God concerning his son, Jesus Christ. Everything to be fulfilled. What's written in the book of what? Moses. You know, Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua. The prophets. And all the rest of what? The right. Well, that's basically all I'm going to do. I want to close with something. It says in verse 5 of Romans 15, now the God of what? Patience and consolation. Grant you to be what? Like-minded one toward another, according to whom? That ye may with one mind and with one what? Glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the desire of God. And if it doesn't happen, you go to verse 17 of Romans 16. And that's where I close and that's where I stand. I beseech your brethren, verse 17, can you read it? Mark them out, which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the right believing which you have learned. And what? Oh, but you don't want to. It's your privilege. Step inside of the line, get burned, your privilege. It says what? And if you'll ever work that word, avoid, it'll amaze you. The reason it says avoid is because it's like a stinking death, like a stinking poison. The old people had a wonderful phrase, you don't put a rotten apple into a good bushel. That's this word. Avoid them. Doesn't say have fellowship with them. Doesn't say write them nice letters and say how much you love them and how blessed you are they're still living. It says in my word, what? For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, which means their own life, their own egotism, their own selfishness, and by good word and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple, the innocent. And people, that's where I stand. God bless. Thank you. That's it. Glory.